So when looking at 1 Timothy, and like I said, I know we've all read from this chapter before, but you know, this chapter is basically about Paul writing a letter to Timothy talking about false doctrine, you know, what he was probably getting ready to get into, and false teachers, and actually contrasting the law of Moses or the law of sin to the law of God. But he also just talks about himself. And what I would like to do today is focus on two verses in particular in 1 Timothy, and that is verse 13 and 15. In verse 13, Paul says, and this is after he describes false doctrine and basically man in our own nature. This is who we are before Christ comes to us. In verse 13, and he's speaking of himself here, he said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And in verse 15, he says, and this is after talking about the exceeding abundant faith and love of God, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of who I am chief. And one thing I notice here is that Paul referenced himself in two tenses. A past and present, or if you would, a before and after. He said, I was before a blasphemer. But then he said, talks about himself at the same time, that Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of who I am chief. And in these verses, Paul was speaking of himself. He says, I was before a blasphemer. And when Paul says this, and we know the story of Paul. He's calling Christ an imposter and a liar and unbelief, just like everyone who knows Christ has done. He said he was a persecutor and injurious. He calls the death of God's people. He thought he was doing God a favor by doing this, by taking these things out on believers. But like every unbeliever, he has a hatred of God, the hatred of the gospel, and the hatred of the revelation of God's holiness in himself. And like I said, we know the story of Paul, where God knocked him off his horse, and in the bright light of his holiness, he put scales over his eyes, and he shut everything out to Paul except his word. And he was called up to the third heaven, if you remember. And Paul said he'd heard unspeakable words not lawful for man to utter. This is Paul. He said, I was before a blasphemer. This is what I was. That is what every redeemed believer was. But in the very next verse, what does Paul say? He says, but Paul, he said, I obtained mercy. And this mercy was not asked for. It was not sought after. It was not merited. And in ourselves, it wasn't even desired. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. You know, he says in verse, let me see. I think he says in verse 15, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. We don't obtain mercy. We don't obtain mercy because of that. But rather, it was indeed mercy that God would pardon us or Paul and justify us, and would pardon and justify such an ignorant and unbelieving person as we are. As Paul said he was. I was before a blasphemer. And this faith is not attainable in ourselves. Like I said, it's completely unmerited. And God's saving faith to us will not allow us to make a work of it. He knocks us off our horse, everyone here. And Paul said, he said, this case wasn't singular. If you look in verse 16, he said, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long suffering for a pattern for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him for life everlasting. Paul's case was not singular. It wasn't one time. All will say before, just like Paul, and I'm sure anybody that has been saved by the grace and mercy of God has said, I'm the chief of sinners, and will call Paul a liar. But Paul was a pattern. He said, every sinner that comes to God by faith, unmerited, undeserved, authored and finished by Christ, is the chief of sinners. All who Christ commands to come to him do so as the chief of sinners. We hear that saying, you know, there's too many chiefs and not enough engines. Well, I tell you, the people of God are nothing but that. They're nothing but chiefs. He said, I am the chief of sinners. Not was. I was before a blasphemer. And Paul is the example of Christ, patience and long-suffering. But in Romans 5:8, here's what we know. But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God reveals himself to his sheep and his people through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And other than that, before that happens, we would just walk through this world with no regard for anything, with no regard for Christ, with no regard for his sacrifice, just like there was no problem at all. And this was the same as Paul persecuting the church, and it could be the same as a sinner sitting in this church today, hearing the gospel preached. In the before, he said, I was a blasphemer. In the before, I sat right here and listened to the gospel without a care in the world. Oh, it was merciful that Christ would put us in this place to hear the gospel. But until he comes to us in quickening power, we would walk through this world without a care in it. So do you know Paul referenced himself in the before and after? Do you know when you find out who you were before? You don't find that out until the after. We're completely blind. You know, I know right now we bought a house that we're redoing some things in it. You know, we're redoing the bathroom right now. So you always take some before and after pictures. You like to see what it looked like before. And then when you get done, you like to see some pictures of the after. You know, I remember in the comic books and wrestling magazines seeing old Charles Atlas program. You see this 97-pound weakling that gets dirt kicked in his face on the beach. You know, but then if you do this Charles Atlas program, in the after you get this big muscled up guy. Only then do you find out who you were before. Paul said, I was before a blasphemer. And there was a time when we did not believe and did not know what it was, what it meant to believe. You know, I remember like Amazing Grace. There was a time when that song, it's a beautiful song. The song play on the bagpipes is one of the most beautiful songs in the world to me. But there was a time when we sang the song and heard the words. I mean, do you remember the first time you ever sang Amazing Grace and knew what it meant? That was in the after. That was after faith came. I could care less if I ever heard the music again. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I'm found. I once was lost. Scripture, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I remember learning that scripture under the instruction of sovereign grace. I remember being proud to know it. I remember in self-righteousness, saying to myself, I understand what sovereign grace is. I didn't have a clue who it was about. The gospel. I mean, through Christ's infinite mercy, I sat under the gospel for years. Listen to Rupert preach. Listen to, you know, loving it. I debate it with most anybody. I would understand it through natural ears, if you would. But I had no clue who the gospel was about. This is what we discover after. We don't know who we were before. There was a time when you hated Christ. Didn't know it. It didn't bother our soul. There was a time when we were at enmity against God. And there was a day with Paul. You said, I am the chief of sinners. A sinner out, not only that you are the chief among sinners, but that you have sinned against God and God alone. And that's what David said. I have sinned against Christ alone. Against His law, against His face, and against His justice. Against everything true and right and good. Against the revelation of self in all eternity. That's what we sin against. And I'd like to illustrate this first point. If you could turn to Job 33. Of an illustration of the state of our soul before and after. And we'll start reading in verse 18. And in Job 33 and verse 18, he says, He keepeth back his soul from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that he abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draw near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. This is who we are before. And this is what Paul said when he said, I was before a blasphemer. I was before injurious. Is this how we see ourselves? It is by Christ's mercy and grace alone that we do. This is how Paul saw himself. And this is a spiritual picture of who we are. Under the law before. Under the law, in prison. Locked up. We cannot get out. We have no desire to do so. We're under complete dominion of sin and unbelief. But we don't see it. We have no hope. No hope at all. And this is how Paul described it in 1 Timothy 9 and 10. And he is referring to himself here. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy and profane, murderers, he called murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, whoremongers for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, liars, perjured persons. And he even wraps it up by saying anything else. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, this is who I was before. And Spurgeon has a good description of the state of our soul. He says we are broken at the foot of a steep cliff. Every bone we have has been broken by the fall. And yet we look to ourselves. We have a pile of sin on top of us that's buried, and yet we still look to ourselves for trust. Our sin, we have mountains of it all around us. Overwhelm us. Floodwaters of guilt surround us. Yet we seek after our own righteousness. We're crushed to atoms. Every particle of our body reeks with conceit. And though ground to powder, our very dust is pungent. The Holy Spirit alone renders the sinner totally helpless and makes him receive the humbling truth that salvation is of the Lord. This is who we are before. So if you look in Job 33, this is a reference to who we are after, an illustration. After the Holy Spirit reveals the humbling truth, salvation is of the Lord. In verse 25, he says, His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. And Christ has made all things to us then. And he says, our flesh shall be fresher than a child and return to the days of his youth. I think recently in one of the bulletins it even said, he might die of old age, but in Christ we will be in the days of our youth. And by his faith, by his mercy. So what causes this change? You know, there's nothing that we can add to. What causes it? How does faith come? And it is by the quickening of the Spirit, breathing life into the soul of a dead sinner, just like with Paul, by knocking us off our horse. How it comes, go back to Job 33 and we'll read verse 24. It says, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And that's how faith comes. In Christ alone, all things that I demand, I have found a ransom for. Everything that would be put to you is put on him. And with these words, I have found a ransom, we see. Nothing more, nothing less. And it is revealed to a dead sinner that we have absolutely nothing to do with it. You didn't move a muscle. Not so much as a finger. Just like Lazarus, you were dead. And we hear these words, I have found a ransom. Just like with Lazarus, he says, come forth. And that's a commandment. And you will say with Paul, just like in verse 17, he says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. And similar to the song we just sang in 1 Timothy 6, he says, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, which no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. You see, Christ is eternal and immortal. His mercy endures forever. I remember, I think, Ray or Carl reading one of the Psalms. Every verse said, his mercy endureth forever. He's the Lord. He changes not. You know, us being the sons of Jacob, we're not consumed. When it says he is invisible, so divine in nature, so that natural man cannot see. He dwells in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. But in Christ, who we are made to righteousness in, we can see him. We have access to him. But in Christ, by faith and Spirit, we see. We have access to God through Christ. In Colossians 2:9, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So what is this salvation conditioned on? What is salvation conditioned on? If it had anything to do with us or doing our part, we would never do it. This saving faith alone comes by the undeserved grace and mercy of God and his Son and the substitutionary sacrifice. But it's only for sinners. In verse 15, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He said, I was before a blasphemer, but now I'm the chief of sinners. And only after faith comes do we see either of those. And normally, the before and after, we like, obviously before you think it's not as good, and after it's better. You know, but here before and after is different. Like, you know, before, just like with a Charles Atlas, you're a 97-pound weakling. After, you become more developed. Before you restore a car, it's rusty and dented. After, it looks like a showpiece. But here, this before and after is not natural. This is spiritual. The before and after in Christ, this is a spiritual change. Outward man does not change here. I mean, he said, I was before a blasphemer. After, he says, I was a chief of sinners. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who would want this? But see, this is an inward change by the quickening of the Spirit. the eternal, unchanging mercy of God, outward man is unchanged. It is by mercy alone that Paul can say, I am the chief of sinners. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? He said, O wretched man that I am, not I was. He said, I was before a blasphemer. Like I said, outward man is unchanged. He must increase and I must decrease. And this is of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In John 3:31, he says, He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speak of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. And Christ alone reveals that to a man. Grace and mercy through faith comes to a sinner in the Spirit, which is completely foreign to us. We have no idea what that means. Yeah, and when this faith comes in the after, and I know we've sang this song before, but it's so true. It says, I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the word, creating faith in him. You see, we're dumbfounded. We obtain mercy in ignorance and unbelief, having nothing to do with us whatsoever, completely of Christ. In John 3:8, speaking of this faith, it says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And all things are revealed spiritually in Christ, you know, just like the hymn we just talked about. And if you remember David Edmondson, when he came down, he talked about, what do we know? We know not how the Spirit moves, but we do know one thing. We know whom. And this, the best scripture I've found to show how faith comes to us and where does it come from. In Philippians 3:20, it says, For our conversation is in heaven. It doesn't happen in the natural mind. This is spiritual. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also you look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And we hear all the miracles in the Bible. I mean, how many miracles did people see throughout Christ's life that he performed? You know, feeding of the 5,000. How many people did he make, you know, did he heal? But if you want to see a miracle on this earth, and every sinner that has been redeemed by Christ has seen this miracle, and that is the Spirit that convinces us of who we are. And that's a miracle that cannot be undone. We cannot unhear this conversation that is in heaven. We are subdued. And you hear John talk about, Oh Lord, arrest our soul, rest our mind. Christ subdues us. That's what he does. Daniel Parks, in a recent bulletin, I think it was a couple weeks ago, you know, he talked about this, you know, before and after. He didn't reference it so, but he said, Natural man hears the word of God preach and knows facts and doctrine. I did. I sat right here for years and did. We can debate and argue the gospel of Christ. I would. We boast of being in a sovereign grace church and talk of justification and sanctification of being through Christ. I did. Before, this is what we do. Paul said, I was before a blasphemer. And only by saving faith do we not debate the gospel, but believe Christ who is the gospel. We're not self-righteous of being in a gospel church, but know what it is to be in the Christ of the church. Not declare justification and sanctification to be through Christ, but declare him to be our only righteousness and holiness. And with Paul, this is what we would say, that I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So So what is this if Christ is made unto us wisdom, if this is spiritual? And this is one thing that I thought about. What is spiritual wisdom before and after? You know, I remember in blindness listening to the gospel thinking that one day I would understand all things intellectually about, I would understand the doctrine more. I would understand everything I read more and more. But the wisdom that Christ becomes to us is not something learned in a book. I mean, I'll be honest, I can pick up a book from John Gill or Robert Hawker, and I can probably put myself to sleep in 5 minutes reading it. That's not wisdom. I pray that God would reveal His Word to me. I do. We pray that in mercy He would reveal to us more and more about Him. That is our hope. But the wisdom God talks about is by faith alone. The wisdom is Christ. What is this wisdom? I have found a ransom. That's wisdom. It's finished. It is finished. Your debt's paid. It's already done. That's wisdom. Salvation is of the Lord. Believe. God alone does this. That's wisdom. In 1 Corinthians, God said, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not bring to naught things that are. Why? Why is this wisdom that only God can do? That no flesh should glory in His presence. How many smart people out there will boast in that? But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, if ye glory, you will glory in Him alone. That is wisdom. And he says in 1 Corinthians, and I, brethren, this is Paul, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is spiritual wisdom that in the after we see. So, and even in Romans 7:24, and I referenced in a few minutes ago, you know, Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. But in Romans 4, he also references himself presently. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And recently, Don Fortner preached a sermon called Our Soul's Greatest Trouble. And he referenced, this was what Don preached on, that our soul's greatest trouble was, is the old wretched man that I am. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And this is what Don said our soul's greatest trouble is. A sinner, that we mourn the warring between the members of our flesh and the law of God. And this never goes away. It's constant. It's a constant thorn every single day. We see how little and cold our love for Him and how little regard of what our sin is. But before, our soul's greatest trouble is one that we aren't even aware of until Christ reveals it to us. And that, our soul's greatest trouble, is the fact that we are completely blind to. And that is the eternal separation from God without a substitute, without a mediator, without a sacrifice. without Christ himself pleading the causes of our soul before the throne of grace. And that trouble, every other trouble pales in comparison to that. And we're content to be blind to it. But only in the after do we even see it. In the words of Matthew, this is our soul's trouble. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's like Judas said, like Judas who God said of, he said, it would be better if you were never born. That's our soul's greatest trouble before. And apart from God opening our eyes to this and seeing Christ, we'd never know. We would be content just to walk, live our life, walking down the street, content. But somebody who has found themselves to be a true sinner, and Christ alone reveals this, a sinner that is one before God Almighty himself, an eternity-bound sinner, so as by faith that is authored and finished by God, confess themselves to themselves that is nothing but themselves, sin. God alone does that. And Paul says, knowing the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ. He said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, Paul says in the present, I'm the chief of sinners, oh wretched man that I am, not that I was. And when we see the state of our soul and our soul's greatest trouble, which is our eternal separation from Christ, you know what we hear? When we see that, we hear, I have found a ransom. And we are free from that trouble. And we hear the word of God, which is in power. And we find ourselves, you know, the word of God being a stumbling block. But now by faith we see, and this stumbling block becomes a cornerstone. We sit there and see ourselves from day one face down in the dirt the whole time. Didn't even know it, didn't even care. But Christ reveals that himself to be a cornerstone. And the truth is, to a redeemed sinner, the only before was in Christ. We talk about before and after. But if you were one of Christ's people, if you are elect, there was never a before. Christ in his sovereign providence and mercy, this is before in Christ. In John 17, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, I can't understand that. Now, I don't even try to. By faith in Christ, that's who we are. But for us, it was manifest in the last times for you. So in the after, what is the evidence? And this is another thing we all struggle with. What is the evidence of this? The scriptures describe the saints of God as complete, without blemish, holy, blameless, spotless, chosen of God, redeemed by Christ, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. This is who God says we are. I don't see it, not in myself. And if I did see it, why would I say with Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So most days we're blinded by our own flesh, our own sin, our own shame. We can't see the forest for the trees in the after, even after faith comes to us. So often we doubt Christ, we question our salvation, we look to ourselves for assurance. We constantly think, am I saved? What if I'm deceived? What if I'm a hypocrite? Is it me? That's what the disciples said when Christ said, one of you will betray me. He said, is it me? That's what we say. What confirmation do we have that we're a child of God or one of God's elect? What confirmation do we have that we're a sheep, not a goat, or a wheat, not the tare? The only thing we have is faith in Christ. That's it. There is nothing else. And that faith is authored and finished, complete and preserved to God in Christ. And that's it. And we can no more unsee that than we could save ourselves. We can no more unhear the conversation in heaven than we could raise ourselves from the dead like Lazarus. It's the quickening spirit that says to us, it's already done. Salvation of the Lord, that is wisdom. It's the same voice by faith when there's nothing left in us. Just like the woman at the well, if you remember her, when she references the Messiah, or Paul, Paul says, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" By faith, the answer is, "I am He." That's all we have. And Todd Nybert probably said the best thing I can remember of as far as referencing this. He said, the only time a sinner knows this, the only time we have assurance by faith in Christ, is when by grace through faith, we look to Christ and we believe that everything God demands of me, He looks to and finds only in His Son. That's it. That's the only time we believe on Christ and have faith and have assurance. It's when Christ lets us see that. In Matthew, He said, "While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him.'" And to His people, this is not a request. And when He says, "Hear," you do. So, and if you're here today and do not know Christ, because before and after, there has to be a death before there's a rebirth. If you're here today and do not know, no one knows who they are. I know there's still sheep that are lost. And the only reason I know this is because the world has not ended yet. And in Romans it says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, 'Lord, who hath believed our report?'" But in Romans it says, "So faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And in Lamentations it says, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." And what a mercy it is that God has allowed us to hear the gospel. I mean, you sit sometimes, you just think of all the places and people that here we are. That it is by mercy that He even gives us any kind of inclination or desire to be here in the flesh. And He does this to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. And like I said, we are secured, apprehended, arrested, subdued by Christ through faith, authored and finished by Him, not yours, not mine. I think John a couple weeks ago said, "I can't give you my faith. If I could, you wouldn't want it. Because my faith is worthless." The Bible talks about a grain of a mustard seed. How about a grain of a tobacco seed? That's pretty small. It's not even worth that. Faith come by Christ alone. That's it. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehended, for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He is able to subdue all things to Himself." So, this is the before and after. Paul said, "I was before a blasphemer, but now," he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bodies of death?" And I hope our desire is to be found in Christ alone. That is my hope. I hope I can say with Paul, "Coming not with excellency of speech or wisdom, but determined not to know anything among you but Christ and Him crucified." And he says hereafter that we see what John Newton saw when he wrote Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me, that Paul says he is, that we are. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Another of my favorite hymns is that talk about wisdom, the wisdom, content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss. And that question we have, oh wretched man that I am, by looking to faith in Christ alone, we can say with Paul, I thank God through Christ Jesus. So with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And I pray that we can rest in that spiritual work, not of our own, lest any man should boast. And in the after, proclaim two wonders, the wonders of His glorious love and our own worthlessness. Paul said, I was before a blasphemer, but hereafter I know, this is what I hope I know. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And in the after, through faith by Christ, we will know that. All right.